We pray for blessings. We pray for peace. Comfort for family. Protection while we sleep. We pray for healing. For prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while, you hear each spoken need. Yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. And we cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love. As if every promise from your word is not.
So every time we know a fast week is coming, I always tell my husband, well, we better get prepared because Pastor Keith's going to be calling us for fast week to teach. And for the last two fasts, he hasn't called us. So I started preparing and getting ready just in case he called me. So they tell me to teach on this day. So I said, I'm just going to use one of the messages I used from that I was already going to teach from last time. But then Thursday, the Lord said, oh, no. I'm going to give you totally something different. So as I was in my time of worship and praying to God, and then when I got flat on the floor, down on the bottom, that's when he gave me the message. So he gave me the message, and then gave me the message Thursday, and then I didn't even know where to go to in the Bible or where to start with the message that he had put on my heart. So then Friday at 2:00 in the morning, he told me where to go in there. But my title of the message is Blessings at the Bottom is the message. And so he got me up at 2:00 in the morning, and he took me to Job. So when Minister Lamar was talking about Job yesterday, I was like, oh, please stop. He's talking about my message about Job. What's going on? Don't say no more. So he took me to Job. So, and I'm going to read from Job 1 through 22. So there was a man in the land of Oz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God. Chewed evil. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of ox, and 500 she asses, and a very great household. So that this man was great, the greatest of all men of the east. And his sons went and feast in their homes, everyone this day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so. When the day of their fastings was done, that Job sent and sacrificed them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the Son of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also with him. The Lord said to Satan, which come thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down it. And the Lord said to Satan, has thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and see choose evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doeth Job fear God for nothing? Has not they made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has, and every side thou hast blessed the work of his hands and his substance and increase in the land? But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse you in thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has had is thy power, and only upon himself put not thy forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when the sons and the daughters were eating and drinking wine in their elder brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only had escaped alone to tell thee. While he was still speaking, there came another one and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burnt up thy sheep and servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans made out 3 bandits and fell upon the camel and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of sword, and only I am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, thy son and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their elder brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young man, and they were dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down to the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all of this, sin not, nor charge Job, nor charge God foolishly. So if we go back to see it between 2 and 3, it shows that Job was a man that with many blessings. He was a man that obeyed God. He feared to refuse to do evil. He was rich. He had many animals and many servants and a large family that God had blessed him with. And then if you see in 6:11, it shows that Job was a righteous man, and God knew Job was a righteous man, and Satan also knew he was a righteous man. And he said that he, because he had many blessings and a large family, and that the only reason he was a righteous man because God had blessed him with all of these things. But Satan had told God, if you would take all of this stuff away from Job, he would curse you in your face because you took all his blessings away. So in 12, it shows that God took his hands off and allowed Satan to take away everything that Job had. And then on 14 and 17, we see that Job's oxen and servants were killed. His camels were stolen. And 18 and 19 shows a strong wind blowing Job's house, and his children were dead, and nothing was left. Everything was taken from him. And then on 20 and 22, it shows that Job was sad, but he wasn't angry with God. He was sad with, but he wasn't angry with God, but he fell to his knees and he worshiped God. God had taken everything from him, but Job still loved God, even though God had taken everything away from him. And if you continue to read in the story, there's more to the Job story about God and Satan meet again, and they, you know, talking about Job's health, and God takes his hand off of Job and attacks his body and puts sores all over his body from crown of his head to the sole of his feet. And his wife tells him, you know, you're still holding on to that faith and believing that God's going to bring you through it. Why don't you just curse God and die? You know, but after everything that Job had went through, he stayed consistently with God at the bottom. And to make a long story short about the whole story, I'm pretty sure everybody knows about the Job story. Towards the end, you know, they blessed him. He got blessed. He got double portion. He, you know, with his land, with his children back, 10 children that he had lost, his animals. So he had gotten blessed back more. But for me, as I was reading the Job, I was thinking about me when I was on the bottom. What does that look like? What was it for me when I was on the bottom? And for me, what it meant for me on the bottom was being in a low down, crudded house with roaches. That was for me being on the bottom, or wearing my sister's hand-me-downs. Being homeless, not having a roof over my head, you know, being on the bottom. No money in my pocket, not able to, enough money to pay my rent or pay my bills. Receiving government assistance like welfare and food stamps, you know, being on the bottom. Being hungry, no food to eat. I mean, there was times when I wouldn't even eat so my children can eat. That's how bad it was. I mean, there's times I didn't even have 2 nickels to rum together to buy a loaf of bread to feed my kids. And when I did try to have money, you know, when people sit on the chairs and their chain fall out of their pockets, so I wouldn't be scrounging through the sofa and trying to get some change to scrape up to buy some bread for my children so we could have a sandwich. And then you open the refrigerator, there's no food in the refrigerator except for a jar of mayonnaise or ketchup. So what I'll do is, being down at the bottom so low, make mayonnaise sandwiches. mayonnaise sandwiches, you know, because there's no food would make mayonnaise sandwiches, and that would be, I would do, make a mayonnaise sandwich, put it there. We didn't have no Kool-Aid, so I'd get some water and put sugar in there. So we have sugar water, you know. So it would do, that would be in the, for us. I mean, it was rough being on the bottom, you know, especially with, when my, after I had my children, there was times I didn't have money to pay my rent. I didn't have money to pay bills. I would either have light on, no gas, or I would have gas and no light. And there's times when I didn't even have no light, and I would be sitting on my window sill so I could read a book with the light off of the street, off of the street light to read. And sometimes it would be so cold in the house that we'd be in our house with our coats on and then the blankets covering us as well because of no heat. It was rough being on the bottom. And then receiving a check once a month, receiving a welfare check once a month came every first of the month. And every first of the month was a luxury to my kids and I because, okay, we're getting this check. It's coming the first of the month. I'll get them all ready. We sit on the steps waiting for the mailman to come. You know, we'd be waiting for the mailman to come, and my son's like running. It's the first of the month. Get up, get up, get up. my son would be singing that. We'd be getting all dressed, get ready. We'll walk to the bank. So it was a luxury for them because on the first of the month, we would go to a restaurant, and they would be able to eat burgers and fries and have all this kind of food. But then after, for that first of that month, that check, you had to have, I had to let that check last me for the whole month with paying my rent, paying my bills, getting house supplies, getting my kids, whatever, my children, what they needed with shoes or clothing, whatever. I had to have that last me the whole month. And also receiving food stamps. I was embarrassed to go get food stamps and go into the store with food stamps. And if I see somebody at the store, I say, oh, we'll just go down the next aisle, wait till they leave, and then we'll go to the register. Don't let nobody see us with these food stamps. I didn't want nobody to see that I was receiving food stamps. So, you know, and if nobody don't know what food stamps is like paper money. It's in a little book, and it has ones and fives and tens, you know. Oh, they upgraded, huh? Yeah, so, I mean, that's what I had. And, I mean, it was so bad being at the bottom that there was times I didn't even have, check this one out. I didn't have no money for the bus to take my kids to the doctors. So I would give each child $1 in $1 food stamp and send them all to the corner store and get change for the bus. And then once we had enough money for the bus, then, you know, we had enough change to get on to go on the bus and do our appointments that we needed to do. So it was just, I mean, being at the bottom was rough. Or otherwise, being in a house when you flick on the lights and the roaches are scattering all over the place. I mean, and you're like, just trying to stop everybody, like you're doing that. And you know that song, like, the cucaracha, you know, you're doing like that. So, I mean, all over the place in those rundown houses. So it was really rough down there at the bottom, and especially, you know, with the being homeless and having a park bench for your bed. Now, being down at the bottom was like, wow, especially when you're down there and you have no place to turn or no one to go to in situations like that, you know, being down at the bottom. But I know at the bottom, God was with me down there at the bottom. And it's just, it was hard. It was really hard. But when you're down at the bottom, it's like, how am I gonna get through this? What's gonna go on? How am I gonna feed my kids? How am I gonna keep my lights on? How am I gonna pay my bills? You know, you start thinking about that stuff. But you know what? Even though we were down at the bottom, we might not have had much, but we had each other, and God was with us down at the bottom, and we survived down at the bottom. So, you know, I just have to thank God that I'm there down at the bottom. And then when I said about Job's health, about his getting the sores all over his body, it brought me back to my situation with my health, not only once, but, you know, twice. The second year after my husband and I were married, I had a stroke. It, you know, came upon me, had a stroke, and that time of when I had the stroke is like we were down. I mean, I lost my job. I had this illness in my body, and my husband was the only one providing for us at that time, trying to figure out, like, you know, how are we going to pay this rent? How are we going to get the car payment? How's this? Everything. It was just, it was so hard. But down at the bottom at that time with this stroke that came on me, it's like, okay, first let me go back. When Satan and God met, and he said, if you, God allowed his hands to get taken off and for Job can touch his body. So I was kind of thinking, for me, is like, okay, when it was my situation, God and Satan got together, and God said, well, so have you noticed my daughter Stella? She's righteous, and she's holy, and she's pure, and she's a virtuous woman. She's strong, and she's powerful. Have you noticed her? And he said, you know, they're having that conversation. Yeah, I noticed your daughter. But if you give her, put this sickness on her, I bet you she's going to come against you, and she's not going to trust you no more. So God allowed it and said, go ahead, do what you have to do. So it comes on my body. I have this stroke. And in the process of having the stroke, my mobility is taken away from me. I couldn't walk. I couldn't talk. I couldn't eat. I couldn't write. I couldn't give myself a bath. And that went on for a couple of months. A couple of months, you know, when it went on. But the thing is, I didn't curse God. I didn't accuse God. I didn't ask God why, but I stayed consistent with God at the bottom. And then the second time I thought about it is when I got that word, you hear that word cancer. So again, God and Satan go meets again. They go meet again. And again, God says, have you noticed my servant Stella? You know, have you noticed her? And again, he says, yeah, she's there. Yeah, she's there. I noticed her. But if you put another sickness on her body, I believe she'll curse you. So then I get this other sickness on my body again. And then here again, some of my womanhood gets taken away from me. I get full of poison. I get my hair taken off of me. Also in the time, my strength taken away at the bottom. But again, we stayed consistent. And when I say we stay consistent, my husband and I stay consistent at the bottom. And it's like, you know, he didn't tell me, oh, curse God and die. No, we stayed consistent at the bottom together with God. So growing up at the bottom, I mean, there could be more, there's more stuff that I went through at the bottom, but for me, growing up at the bottom made me tough, it made me strong. It made me realize that there's nothing too hard for God. You know, as long as God is with you, who could be against you, you know, at the bottom. And all along while at the bottom, you know, God was growing in me at the bottom when I was down there. So it's just amazing how God was working in me down at the bottom when I was way there. So, and I just want to say as well that, you know, some of you might be here today at the bottom, but if you are, you know, count your blessings at the bottom. Just look at your blessings at the bottom while you're down here at the bottom. I had wrote something here. I had wrote this. It said, your start doesn't determine your finish, but maybe your start is what builds your finish. You know, because I had wrote that because, you know, just because you start on the bottom, it doesn't determine how your finish is going to turn out, you know. So you have to look at that. And then, I had wrote this, and it says, "Give God praise at the bottom, Oh, I wrote, I will give God praise at the bottom. I will not be scared at the bottom. I will not be depressed at the bottom. I will grow at the bottom. And when I grow to the top, I'll look down at the bottom and I'll say, I got blessed down there. I learned down there. I understood what I was going through. It's all for a purpose. It all serves a purpose. A purpose just like it did for Job. So that's what I had wrote about being at the bottom. So I just thank God and I praise God that I'm able here to stand up here today. It's a blessing to stand up here today and able to in front of yous, and I have my strength and I have my mobility and I'm able to talk and walk and, you know, and just to praise him for the blessings that he had blessed me with. And all along being at the bottom, while he was growing in me and showing me and raising me up, you know, at the bottom. And I never knew down at the bottom is like, well, you are getting blessed to flourish, to grow where he wants you to be. So that's all I have.